Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
Doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. In today's podcast, we're going to cover some really interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including, do you have to tap on your charge port to open it? The advantages and disadvantages of Tesla insurance, punching a hole in your key card if you want to, the cost to install a home charger, and much more. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We are the largest Tesla Tips and Tricks community in the world. We have over 282,000 members, and our community provides awesome tips and tricks to help maximize the ownership of a Tesla. And we do that for both current and prospective owners. I'm always super surprised at the number of members that we have joining our group who aren't yet Tesla owners. They're just considering a purchase. We really love that. And of course, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure that you do so. It's facebook.com/groups/Tesla Tips, or you can just search Tesla Tips and Tricks and you'll find us 282,000 members. But we also are releasing all of the best tips and content on our YouTube channel. So there's a link in the comment section of this video or the description, depending on where you're watching it. Or if you're listening to our podcast, youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks, youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks. Be sure that you like and subscribe the video there.
Yeah, and as always, Tori, a shout out to you and Sam and the rest of the team, moderating a group that has, we average over 35, 40 posts a day with dozens and dozens and sometimes hundreds and hundreds of comments. And it's a heavy lift to moderate and administer that group. So you guys do a heck of a job at that. And I know it is not easy to make everybody happy.
So. Sam will appreciate that. He's always joking around. And whenever we say that we're going to record a podcast, he's like, don't forget to mention me. And of course he's joking, but I like to joke and say he does do a really good job. He definitely earns his pay, which is easy to do actually, because it's
value that he provides far exceeds his compensation.
Okay. The value he provides far exceeds his compensation. You'll like that.
All right, so let's jump in with some of our posts and talk about those. Number one that we're going to talk about, this would be a strange question. At many charging stations, I have seen that when the car owner start charging, they open the charging door and tap the charger against the taillight before connecting it to the car. Why? Question mark.
Laird Popkin has the best comment on this. And he says, no real reason. Pressing the button on the charge handle opens the door. So for those who don't know, and every time this comment is or this question is asked or we talk about this, people are surprised. There's a dot on a Tesla charger on the top of it. And when you press it, if you're near the car, it automatically opens the charge port. You have to have
I'm glad key. You mentioned, Tori, that it's a dot, because everybody says you press the button, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's not intuitive.
It's smooth. It's not a obvious button. It's a dot.
There's a dot on the top. Yeah. And so you have to have your key or the car has to be unlocked, and you press that button, it opens. Now, depending on your year and model, you can also tap or press in the charge port if you have your key and it will open, but not all models do that. And I think that that's where this came from, is people would use the charger to push in and kind of press in a couple of times on the charge port lens, and then it would open because you can just press it in with your finger. And what the question is about, though, is people tap the taillight. And this, just continuing with Laird's comment here, it says tapping the door also opens it, but pressing the button is gentler on the car. YouTubers started tapping on the taillight for some reason, and people copied them, I guess. And that's my understanding of what's happened here, is that you can press, or people would maybe mistake that as tapping on the charge port, but tapping on the back of the taillight, I've seen that. And when I first got my Tesla, I have to admit, even though I knew that didn't do anything, I did it just being silly. And, you know, Ken Schultz says, well, OCD can make you do silly things. Justin Owen says, it's to shake it out in the insects or loose dirt that managed to get into the charging connector. Not sure that that was, that that's a thing. I mean, maybe for some people it is, but if you're going to try to shake out and dust off and get insects out, you know, tap it against your hand, maybe not the, the tail light, because you can scratch the tail light. So way easier on the paint just to push the button. I got one more comment. What were you saying, Rod?
Yeah, I was just a comment here from Doug Jacobs that he says, tapping the tail light is a YouTube thing. It serves no purpose except to scratch up the tail light diffuser. You should also not tap the charge port door with the charger, as that will also scratch. You can open the door by pressing gently with your finger or pressing the button on the charger or the icon on the screen in your car or using the app or using the voice command, open charge port. That's pretty thorough from Doug Jacobs there. That kind of sums it up.
That is, yeah, Doug. Doug, thank you for commenting on that. I've always noticed that Doug's comments are always very thorough and very accurate. So we appreciate that, Doug. Nice job. The last comment that I wanted to mention was by John Lawler, and it says, if I am at a non-Tesla charger, I will tap it with the back of my fingers. I'm not going to smack my car with another piece of hard plastic and risk damage. So what John is saying here, he has one of the models that if you tap the charge port, it opens. But he's saying I would never do that with a hard charger. But it is a good point. The CCS chargers, the non-Tesla chargers, they don't have the button on the top that communicates with the car to open the charge port. Therefore, you have to do it from the screen in your car, the voice command, tapping it depending on your year and model, or using the phone app to open up the charge port. So those are the ways you can open it.
Yeah. And, you know, just while we're on this subject, because I remember the learning curve myself, and there's also the secondary part of this is disconnecting to the charger. And I've even run out into my garage and like not had my phone in my pocket and like, oh my gosh, I'm pushing the button and the charger won't disconnect. And so you do have to have your phone key or your key. And if you have your phone as your key, your app has to be turned on or your charger will not disconnect. So it's this, there's, you know, there's the pushing the button to disconnect too. And I've been in a hurry before and been like, oh my gosh, you know, my car is dead or something's wrong just because I didn't have the app open. So,
and it takes a few seconds when you press that button. I find myself sometimes getting impatient or wondering, do I have my key? Because I'll press it and then I'm like, hello. And then it's like 3 seconds later, which, and that's not a lot of time. I'm just being impatient.
Well, sometimes it is. 3 seconds with technology can be an eternity sometimes.
Sometimes we want it. We want it now.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our next comment from our Facebook group, advantages and disadvantages for Tesla insurance. This is, we always have people asking about insurance rates. And I just kind of want to preframe this that, you know, there's so many variables and your driving record, obviously, and your age, and there are just a lot of variables. So we'll just kind of preframe this going into the advantages and disadvantages that it's hard to compare apples to apples when talking insurance rates.
Yeah. Maggie says no one was close to my Tesla rate. So this is going to be an advantage. She says, I hate the scoring, but I've just learned to deal with it. I just went from $80 a month to $114 a month with a score of a 100. And so that's going to, let me just pull up and read. This is called Tesla Real-Time Insurance. And just reading the description of that, it says, Tesla Insurance uses real-time data to calculate potential savings on your premium based on a personalized safety score. The higher the score, the safer you are. So Maggie says she has a score of 100. That's actually better than normal. But your safety score is calculated using your driving behavior from the previous 30 days. You can view your driving data in your Tesla mobile app after your first trip. Each customer starts with a score of 90, and your safety score from the previous month determines your next month's premium. And so that's what you're going to see in these comments as I read a couple of them, is people don't like that, that your how you drove in April determines your May bill. Here we are, you know, getting close. We're just about to be July. How I drove in June would determine my bill for July. So it's variable, which people don't like. It says, the higher your safety score, the more you save. The majority of Tesla drivers are estimated to have a safety score of 80 or higher. You start with a 90. And so Alan here says, actually, let me finish Maggie's comment here. It says, I just went from $80 a month to $114 with a score of 100, but the lowest quote that she got was $329 from AAA. Costco was a similar cost. The other insurance providers were closer to $400. And then Alan says, the only thing that I don't like is that it's not a set price. One month it could be $150, the next month it could be $250. It just depends on how you drive. Lots of false collision warnings is annoying, and late night driving is some BS scam. On the other hand, any claims or stuff like that has been a breeze. Use the app and file a claim if needed, no hassle. After our minor damage claim, roughly $14,000 repair, our rates never increased as of yet. And that was a while ago. And then other people are commenting on how Costco insurance is pretty good, but then other people are saying that it's way more expensive. So I think what you've got to do is just, you got to shop it. And Tesla insurance might save you a lot of money, but if you're on a strict budget, like I can tell you, my wife, she would rather it be $150 a month than it be 100 and then 180 and then 160 and then 200. She doesn't like that variable change. She wants it to be dead set. And last comment here before I talk about the states that this is available in, Bob Womack says, Tesla insurance has the most spyware built into their cars. They're watching every second that you're behind the wheel. And if you have to do a sudden stop, say the light changed to red and you had to stop quicker than normal, you get a strike. And with strikes, your premium will go up. And then he has a complaint about the claim process. So we have one person commenting that their claim was amazing and super easy. And then another person commenting that you'll never get a hold of an adjuster. But I think that it is going to be all mainly electronic communication. Jordan says they track your every move, literally the G-force you use to take a turn, and they'll charge you whatever, whenever. So that is one thing, because I've noticed, FSD drives aggressively. It pretty much does. And so I'm a pretty aggressive driver. And sometimes when FSD is driving, I'm like, man, easy there, cowboy. Like slow down. Why are you in such a hurry? And of course, it's the computer driving, but I can't help but to make a connection here of if I'm active on FSD and it takes, it stops suddenly or accelerates faster than I do and takes a turn faster than I would, is that counting against me? Or maybe they have the algorithm built in to where if you're on FSD, that doesn't count. Because I did notice that there is a discount for some people that if you're driving with FSD supervised enabled, that if you're doing that a high percentage of the time, it gives you a discount. So now let's talk about what states this is available in, because it's not a lot. So that's another thing that people are going to get frustrated about here, is people are going to be listening to this and going, great, I'll shop them. I'll give them a call and see if they're better, because I would love to do that too. But Tesla insurance is available in Arizona, California, Colorado, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, don't you know, you betcha, Nevada, Ohio, Oregon, Texas, go Longhorns. I like Longhorns, although I'm a Bulldogs fan, Utah and Virginia. So it's not very many states. What is that? 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. So 12 states. Hopefully they'll expand that, because I would love to try it out in the future.
Yeah. And just a couple of notes that are interesting to me. Obviously people you know, don't like the idea of this, but this is the future of insurance. It's amazing to me that, you know, Elon and Tesla could just have a side hustle of a vertically integrated business like insurance, and they're still, you know, years and years ahead of, you know, the State Farms and the Progressives and these insurance companies, that this is their specialty. I mean, and you know, 25-year-old Rod, myself, would hate the idea of this, but me at 52, I really don't care if they're monitoring my driving, because I drive like a 52-year-old father of five, and I also don't care. You know what? I'll give her the berries every now and then, and I like to fill the performance from time to time. And if you want to, you know, adjust my rate a little bit, but I mean, Tesla insurance, you know, at least my experience has been, is pretty doggone expensive. And if I could get a much more competitive rate through Tesla, unfortunately, it's not available where I'm at in Florida. But it just is amazing to me how progressive, pardon the pun not intended, that this insurance is. This is what every insurance company would dream of having, the ability to truly measure and quantify through the data, not, you know, your driving record or your background, but the actual real live data in real time. It's just so, so far in the future and so advanced that, it's just remarkable to me. So, it's the future. It's the way it's going to be eventually. So
it is the future.
Yeah. Moving on, number three, I came out to my Juniper this morning and my windows were cracked on the driver's side and the driver's side rear. I don't remember cracking the windows before I parked last night. So this is a very common one. We've talked about this before. Tori, take us through. There's a really good picture here. Kind of clarify, Tori, that this picture, for those who can't see, this is not just a slight adjustment to the window height. This is, we're looking at what, maybe three to five inch gap here.
Yeah. It's a pretty significant gap. And I believe that what's happened here is what most people have commented. Grace says, you might've pressed the vent on your app. And that's what the majority of these comments are saying. And, there's one good comment by Tony, and it says, it's easy to accidentally pocket dial the vent button. I like the way he puts that, pocket dial. And he's got a picture of the app. The bottom right hand button or icon is vent. And so if you press that vent, it will vent all of the windows. And so, you know, there are people commenting saying, well, vent does all the windows. And so he's only saying that his driver's side and driver's side rear windows are cracked. But if both of them are cracked, he probably didn't walk around to the other side. So he's walked up to his car to get into it and went, I don't remember, you know, venting my way. I didn't lower my windows. The other side is most likely down as well. If it was just one window, I would say, maybe when he got out, he accidentally hit the button or something. But since it's both windows, this is 99% chance that he hit the vent button accidentally in the app. And somebody made a comment, I don't know that this is a thing, maybe you do, Rod. And they said, let me find it here. It says, Jonathan says, set it to roll up all windows when you walk away or lock the car. I don't remember seeing that setting, so that's something I'm going to have to look into. But if so, that's a pretty cool setting.
Yep, I'm not familiar with that setting, but I would not be surprised at all if that's not a custom configuration that could be done.
Yeah. And Vamshi, I don't know about this either, but he says, I'm surprised that so many people don't know about the vent option. And he's got a picture of the app as well. But he says, basically, there's a desired temperature if the car is hotter, then the car opens the window slightly. I don't know that that's a thing. From my understanding is the vent button, when you press it, it opens the windows, but it's a manual thing. It's not automatic. There is cabin overheat protection, but it utilizes the fan and the AC to lower the inside temperature of the car. It doesn't automatically crack the windows. sounds like a little bit of a liability thing. I think he might have a misunderstanding on that, but a lot of people don't know that there is a vent button that lowers all of the windows on the car by, you know, 2-3 inches.
Yeah, and it's right there. And for those who can't see the picture, and I got my phone in my hand just looking at it here. I mean, it, under the controls, you know, where that's a common screen. I know I use it a lot because that's where I open, you know, and close my doors and my trunk and my front. But the bottom right is where that is. So it would be easy to, as they say, pocket dial, or as we say in Georgia, butt dial, and open your vent. Tori, tell us, because there's also some confusion in colder weather. There's another feature that can slightly lower your windows, not to the point of which we're looking at here, where there's 3 to 5 inches, and if there was rain, it would come in. Tell us about, just for the confusion, about the windows kind of releasing pressure automatically.
That's a good point, Rod. So people get used to the way that the car operates during the summer, spring, fall, and you shut the door, the window raises all the way up. And then when you open it, it lowers a little and then opens. So you can open the door. During the winter, if it's freezing weather detected, essentially, when you shut your door, the window closes all the way and then lowers a quarter of an inch. And the reason it does that is to reduce the likelihood of your window getting frozen up fully in place. You know, there's a lot more rubber and everything that's sealing when the window's fully closed. And so they lower enough to where it reduces the friction and the chances of it freezing shut, but yet it's still making a seal so your snow and ice can't get into the car. But that only happens in cold, like below freezing or near freezing weather. Oh, and a side note, Rod, this is, if people are hitting this vent a lot, this is a huge thing. And because I was looking, you mentioned you had your app up. I pulled my app up and I don't have the vent there. I remember I moved it. So if you long hold one of those icons, you can customize what you have there. So if you're constantly hitting vent, or remove it from there. And the options that you can choose from are lock and unlock. You can turn on and off your climate control. You can start the car. I'd like to know what that is. I've wanted to look that up and I never have. And just as just a reminder, I want to look up, what does start your Tesla mean? Because if you turn on your climate control, that's essentially what I do if I'm going to be going and getting in the car and it's hot or cold. But you can also set it to open up your frunk or your trunk, defrost car, flash your lights, open your charge port, turn on your bioweapon defense, home link, sentry, trunk. Oh, I said trunk. Summon, you can set that to be your summon button. You can set it to honk or actually to fart. So you can put a button there to make the car fart.
I wonder if this is model specific. Mine is, because you just blew my mind. I'm like, that is cool. And I mean, that's just like the iPhone, right? But mine is not letting me do that. I don't know if I've had.
It may not even be the model. It might be the app. So I have an Android, but yeah, so here's my screen. And then if I long press one of those buttons, it pulls up customized control.
I wonder if that's an Android and an iPhone thing, because I am trying to do that. I'm going to try it again. I don't know if,
maybe there's another way to do it. We can look that up later and update people on a different episode if we find that out. But if you have an Android device, long hold those icons in the app and then you can move them around and replace them.
Well, I just lost a bullet in my holster for my longstanding debate with Tori on the Jamjung versus the iPhone debate. So I better move on here. So,
well, I've been so close, as you know, I almost pulled the trigger on an iPhone, and I get anxiety thinking about every time I grab one of my kids, or everybody in my house has an iPhone. So I should have an iPhone. They better integrate in with the Tesla. And I'm like, that's the last straw. I'm getting an iPhone. And then I pick up Christy's phone and opening it. And like, everything is so different in many ways, just in the basics of how you use something, how you copy text, how you So like just using her phone for a little bit, I'm like, I'd have to relearn everything. I'm sure it would be fast, but gives me some anxiety.
Yeah.
All right. Next topic I would not have ever thought of. Can you punch a hole in your Tesla key card so you can put it on your keychain? When we pick these topics, we kind of look at the comments to, you know, see which ones are getting a lot of engagement, like 153 comments on this. So not a topic I would have thought would have been so popular, but, nevertheless, a lot of engagement here.
Yeah. Eileen Khan has the best answer here, in my opinion. She says, you can, just don't hit the wires or the chip inside. Here is an x-ray of where they're located. And I thought this was awesome. This was great. Thank you, Eileen. This is.
I wonder if Eileen is an x-ray technician and she like did this at work or something.
Eileen is another person I've noticed that has really good commentary and is very thorough in her answers. And so thank you for posting this and commenting on this, Eileen. But,
Tori Ken said to Eileen, some heroes don't wear capes.
Bro, I know. This is incredible. So there's a, for those who are listening, there's a wire that goes along the entire perimeter of the card, and then it connects to a chip that's in the top right-hand corner. If you're looking at the card landscape with like reading Tesla, above and to the right side, that corner has a chip in it. That's how it communicates to, you know, with the vehicle. So you can punch a hole in it, but there's a lot of people, Sean says, put it in the back of your phone case. That way, if your phone dies, you can just tap the back of your phone and on the door to unlock. And so what Sean is saying basically is don't even use the key. Usually just use your phone. Your phone obviously can connect with the car and can unlock it. As long as you have a, you know, newer model, some of the older models, the phone, you can use the app to tap unlock, but it doesn't work as a key very well. Some of the older
that
ones.
It gives me anxiety because I always think about what if I lose my phone? What's my backup plan? So,
And that's what I was going to say here is the Apple Watch. A lot of people are using their Apple Watch as their, their key. And that's a great idea. And then there's a lot of different smart rings that you can find in a lot of the Tesla websites, you know, Tesla aftermarket accessories, but they have NFC keys and there's some really nice ones. And basically there is the chip and the wire is wrapped around the ring. So it looks like a normal ring, but it is actually the key to your car. So I think that that's fantastic. I've actually thought about getting one of those. Although with my Model X, I have the little miniature Model X key. And I just love it. I think there's just so much character with it, but I like carrying that. It's a good conversation starter, but I probably will get one of these rings and use as a wedding ring. And that's my car key.
Massimiliano says, I don't know why, but it sounds a bit like adding the Post-it Notes app to your laptop. And then Martha says, you mean like putting Post-it Notes on my computer?
Yeah. Oh, I've actually done that. So stop talking about us.
No, that's why I think it's hilarious. Because is there something wrong with putting a Post-it note on your computer?
Yeah.
All right. That was a unique one. Let's move on to our last topic for the day. What are people paying to have their home chargers installed? What is a fair market value for that, Tori?
Bill Goodwin has a great answer. He says
283 comments on this one.
Yeah. So Bill says it depends on the location and the distance from the panel and a few other factors. Mine cost $800, but I will get 50% of that refunded by my state. So one of the things that I think everybody needs to understand is they need to call their power company and see if they have any rebates or special pricing. Some power companies lower their kilowatt per hour charge if you have an EV and are charging your EV at home. And some of them have rebates for getting a home charger installed. And that is in addition to the actual state, because some states will give you 50% or $500 or pay for the whole thing. Different states have different programs for installing a home charger. a lot of the comments here are people who did it themselves. What I will say about the DIYers here is, man, if you just be sure that you understand like the engineering of electricity travel, because if you undersize the wire, if you connect something wrong, this can be huge consequences. You can burn your house down. You can get the wrong breaker size and go, oh, well, you know, I've already got a line ran here. I'll just get a 60 amp breaker installed because that's what I'm supposed to get. And what you don't realize is that now the wires inside of your house are glowing red and it's a fire hazard. So know what you're doing if you're going to do this yourself. I was surprised that a lot of people are commenting in the $250 range. You know, N says it was $500 for two home chargers, so probably would have been more than $250 for one. But the other thing here, Irina says, it depends. Do you have an updated panel? How far from the charger will the panel be? Ours cost around $5. I'm assuming that's going to be $100. It just says $5, but I'm sure that's $500. But that's another important point to think of is, if your panel doesn't have any spaces available for a breaker and they got to do a sub panel, that's going to be more. If you have a spot available and they can just run it and you're going very short distance from where the panel is, then, hey, it's going to be cheap. But if they have to run it across the house, it's going to be a lot more money. In fact, there was a comment here by Tia, and she says ours was a little over $2,000. Our house is larger, and they had to run it from one side of our home to the other. We hired a professional because I'm not going to mess with electrical DIY. So just get some quotes. I like to get at least two or three quotes, and then typically I go with the second lowest. That's just my thing.
There's a lot of variables, obviously, with this question. You know, the region, you know, with us being in the United States, Los Angeles, California is going to be, you know, way more than rural South Georgia. And, you know, Steve says my electrician quoted me $700. I asked how long it would take. He said about an hour. And I'm like, $700 for an hour's work and $30 of parts. Looked on Facebook and found another electrician that did it for $200. They were, so like, you know, if you pull that back a little bit, the $700 quote, if you have a big company, you know, electrical company that has, you know, lots of employees and trucks and professional service, and they're going to charge you $700. But if you find like an independent guy that's doing a side hustle, you know, on Facebook or Angie's List or whatever, and they charge you $200. So it's going to wildly vary. And you know, Tori and I love a quote. A friend of ours always says, good, fast, cheap, pick two. And I wanted mine done really fast. I was in a hurry. And I think I know I overpaid, but I got it done. They did a really neat, nice job. That was a hot button for me. I wanted it to look, you know, straight and the conduit to look professional. And I think I paid like $700, but it was done quick and it was done nice. I could have shopped around and been more patient and probably got it done for a lot less. So it's just going to depend. And, but to your point, Tori, just be sure you have a qualified professional that does it.
And that's, you know, going with the guy that's moonlighting or doing it on the side, you can get a good electrician sometimes. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You can get a complete and total hack job that from somebody that doesn't know what they're doing because they helped a master, a certified electrician as their go get tool guy and thought that they know everything about it now and they could really mess you up. So I would say, Rod, I know for you and for me, I'll pay a couple hundred dollars more to not have that person do it, right? So are you licensed and insured? Like that's two big things for electricians in America. If you're not licensed but not insured, then I'm probably going to keep looking and find somebody who is just to be sure that it's done right.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, there you have it. Five of the top most interesting posts or most engaged posts from our Tesla Tips and Tricks community. If you have not already, go to Facebook, join our Tesla Tips and Tricks group. There are several. Ours is the largest one with over 280,000 members. Also go to youtube.com/Tesla Tips and Tricks and join our YouTube page. Tori, anything else before we wrap up today?
No, you got Facebook group and subscribe to our YouTube. That's it.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoyed it as always, Tori, and we'll see everybody on the next episode.